We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show. I'm Blair Andrews. My co-host, as always, is Hassan Rahim. Hassan, how's it going?
It's going great, Blair. Just, you know, it's a Sunday yet again. We had a handful of teams on bye and a whole bunch of really exciting games.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of exciting stuff to touch on. And I'm especially excited to be discussing it all with our guest today. Joining us on the show is John Solis. John is the host of the Solis Report, a new podcast on RotoViz Radio. He also used to write the popular Friedman Report a few years ago and now writes the Solis Report. Make sure you listen to his new podcast available now on RotoViz Radio and follow him on Twitter at Solis Report. John, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I think you'll be disappointed with my analysis, but again, I'm here to plug my show, The Solis Report, filmed live in front of a studio audience in Brooklyn and San Diego. And I'm going to do my best because, as I understand, your audience has somewhat actual fantasy football expectations. So buckle up.
All right.
I did want to ask, how did you guys get a live studio audience? And are you the only show on RotoViz Radio that has one?
I think we're one of the only podcasts, period, with a live studio audience. I don't know where the money comes from. Devin is extremely mysterious. He's maybe a old money or a lottery winner or a drug dealer. He might be a mugger of the elderly. Look, I don't want to say that he does that. I barely know the guy. I can't rule it out. He just has a lot of connections and a lot of money. And I'm not saying our audience is paid to be there, but, I mean, fill in the blanks, guys.
All right. We'll just move on from that and get right into the show, right? first item, Latavius Murray notched 44 yards on 8 rushes while also contributing 3 catches for 35 yards on 3 targets Sunday in New Orleans Week 6 win over Jacksonville. So, John, this was the best game Murray has had as a Saint so far. Do you think he's earned additional work with this performance, or is it more related to Kamara's ankle injury?
I really don't know the extent of how badly Alvin Kamara is hurt, but I think you said it all already. Honestly, not that impressive performance is the best we've seen from Latavius Murray. I wouldn't start him with any confidence unless I knew with some certainty that he'd be the only person in that backfield. I think he took advantage of the opportunities he got. I think the Saints aren't stupid. If they have a healthy Kamara, they're going to be leaning on him, not Latavius Murray. I don't think I'll be flexing him going forward.
Yeah, the interesting thing here was that Camaro was a you know, he was an add on Thursday to the injury report, and next week it gets, I believe the competition next week for New Orleans is pretty tough. I'm actually just pulling it up right here from the RotoViz handy dandy strength of scheming, streaming app. Just I wanted to see what their running back.
The strength of like scheming is actually Devin's article.
But I, for some reason, my internet seems to be going a little bit too slow, and I want to say it is the Chicago Bears here, and I'm going to confirm that. Yeah, so like they play the Bears next week, so I don't know. I'm kind of with you. I don't know if I'll have any interest in plugging in either Kamara or Murray. I did want to say, you know, like we've heard for you know, one of the big talking points about this backfield, which is how it's such a high-powered offense, and they create all these red zone looks, and that really hasn't come to fruition this year. You know, is this like a breeze thing, or is just like one of those? Maybe this is what it's really going to be like, even with Breeze back.
I think it's. I mean, it's hard to say. You look at Drew Brees, and again, I don't know enough about the advanced stats to say that he's declining, but. When you look at his raw totals over the last however long you want, 20 years, the guy just delivers. So if you want to attribute a lack of red zone opportunities to the absence of Drew Brees, I don't have a problem with that. Separately, I think Teddy's doing a great job. I think he was probably the best backup in the league, and now he's out there proving it. I'm surprised to hear you say, though, that you wouldn't start Alvin Kamara. I mean, you were talking about some regretful sits and starts before we started recording, and I can't imagine a more regretful experience than having Alvin Kamara go off on your bench. I mean, start your studs, right?
No. You got me on that one. I'm definitely going to be starting Kamara, like hell or high water, unless it does come out that, like, I don't know, his ankle injury is way worse than we thought it would be. I'm definitely with you on Latavius. I don't know if there's any league where I really need a desperation flex that badly.
Right.
I think that,
you know, sorry. Go ahead, Blair.
No, I was just going to say, I think this is maybe a more legitimate question than you guys are letting on with the Kamara starting. I mean, since Breeze's injury, he's had one game, obviously was huge against Seattle, 37 points. But beyond that, before today, he hadn't scored more than 12 points in a game. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of in the back of my mind. I'm definitely putting Kamara in my starting lineup, but if he is not going to be the Kamara from last year with Breeze out of the lineup, then is that really, you know, is that something I should be thinking harder about?
You're probably playing 3D, 4D chess right now, and I mean that sincerely, because when I think of a player like Kamara or right now Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm a start your studs guy, but maybe the context of the quarterbacking situation is an intervening factor that should cause us to reassess, well, who is a stud this season? I can tell you I have lost games for starting Juju this year. But it's that fear of leaving him benched. Something of activated Siri, maybe this year, Siri. Anyway, I digress. I'm going to start my studs because it's what I do. But if I were smarter, I'd probably reevaluate who my studs are.
Yeah, and speaking of studs, Miles Sanders rushed three times for 6 yards, but he caught all three of his targets for 86 yards and a touchdown in the Eagles' week 6 loss to the Vikings. You know, John, like, you know, he's not getting much work in the running game, but he is seeing plenty of work in the receiving game. You know, Jordan Howard didn't get any work at all as a pass catcher, but still has that rushing role locked down. Sure. And he was, you know, again, fairly meh with his workload. You know, out of curiosity, where were you on Sanders in Dynasty when he was coming out? You know, and do you see him coming on this year eating into like more of that rushing workload and taking on more of that three down role that we thought he was capable of taking on?
Right. So as far as eating into Jordan Howard's rushing opportunities, no, I'm not planning on seeing that. I don't expect that. Sanders was really, 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 really hot, really, really hyped up during the off season. I had him in the early first round, like most people did in their dynasty drafts. For me, he was pretty much interchangeable with Montgomery, certainly behind Jacobs based on opportunity alone. But, you know, there were some people firing off hot takes that Sanders just, you know, based on his similarities to Shady McCoy or even Saquon Barkley, should be the number one overall pick. And obviously, if you did that, you're experiencing some regret right now. But I don't think Jordan Howard is some throwaway journeyman that can simply be ignored. He's not a stud right now, but he has a job. He's bigger and stronger and probably better in certain situations that call for rushing than Miles Sanders. So if I have Sanders in Dynasty, I'm definitely holding. I think he's exciting. I think he's flashed potential. But no, it's not my expectation that he's just going to completely vanquish Jordan Howard, barring injury. Also, I went to Indiana University, so I'm a tiny bit biased.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. I was someone who I liked Sanders a lot as a prospect, and then kind of when he went to Philadelphia, I wasn't thrilled with that landing spot just because we haven't seen Doug Peterson use really a workhorse back or anything before, so it's kind of, I guess, uncharted territory in Philadelphia with, you know, somebody getting that kind of work. And I admit, I kind of bought into a little bit of the hype as we got into the season and started drafting him on, like, some redraft teams. So now, I mean, this game has me thinking, you know, now I've seen him actually perform, but it looks like this is going to be a committee. Should I be trying to sell now, do you think?
I mean, in redraft, anytime you can sell, I mean, especially a rookie running back after a big game, I say go for it. I play it pretty loose in redraft. It's kind of like a palate cleanser from Dynasty. Like, you can be a crazy trade person if that's who you want to be in redraft. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of fun. One of my best redraft teams a couple years back, I finished the season as the champion with literally none of my original drafted players. So just in furtherance of making trades, sure, trade Sanders. You can probably get someone good for him. But in Dino, no, he's a solid hold. I don't like trading my rookies their first year.
Yeah, I mean, like, trading rookies their first year, it's pretty tough, if only because, like, most of them only see their value appreciate as we get further into the offseason. Like, even N'Keal Harry, who's someone like we all really, really loved, and he's done nothing so far. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw a Roto-World blurb that was like, oh, you know, he can start practicing soon. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm back in. Like, we didn't see him at all. Uh-huh. And it's just like, I'm like, time to go get him everywhere in redraft.
No, fingers crossed. I love N'Keal as well. I think he's just so promising, and I hate the landing spot. And you can guarantee that whichever a Patriots player you start, it's going to be someone else getting the touchdown. It's going to be Brandon Bolden for no reason. But, you know, especially in Dynasty, I buy talent usually, not situation. And N'Keal is just so phenomenally impressive. I can't wait to see him.
Following a team you love in 2019 can be time-consuming. Scrolling through every app and visiting every website on a daily basis is impossible. That's why I subscribe to Axios Sports, the best free daily newsletter in the land. Axios Sports is a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. When you sign up for free at sports.axios.com, you'll get the best stories from the NBA and NFL to cricket and ping pong and everything in between. Axios Sports also highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. It's super simple to sign up, and it's free. Not only will you be caught up, you'll be the friend sharing an amazing link with your buddies. Join the 100,000 sports fans who get caught up the day before it even begins. And best of all, there's no paywall, no subscription fee, nothing. This is free, curated sports content delivered directly to you. Sign up at sports.axios.com. Now let's get into no shit, shit no. Julio Jones caught 8 of 9 targets for 108 yards in the Falcons' Week 6 loss to the Cardinals.
Do you guys like The Ataris. Are you familiar with that band, The Ataris?
Oh, vaguely.
Yes, I remember them being a thing in like the 2000s.
Yeah, before you gentlemen were born. One of their best songs is called 8 of 9. And I highly recommend your listeners check it out, especially the acoustic version. You just don't get to hear 8 of 9 that often. I think it's talking about like a cat and its lives. But no, Julio's got more than 9 lives. I'll never give up on Julio. This is a no shit, which is what I say when I agree, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, Julio's the man. 8 of 9 targets, no surprise. No surprise. Julio fucking... Oh, shit. Can I... Oh, oops. Is this a swearing show?
Well, we do have a segment called No Shit, Shit, No.
Yeah. No, I know, but no, I was literally admonished over email this morning for too many swears, so I need to... Not admonished, no, they were just letting me know they need to mark my show. The Solis Report with John Solis and Devin McIntyre, they needed to mark it explicit, and they would have liked a heads up. But no, that said, come on, I'm never going to stop believing in Julio. Well, what kind of person would come on here and say, oh, no, no, this is a flash in the pan, Julio's dosed. Come on.
If you guys are, I'm just going to give you a life hack here. If you find that like you're really inundated with a lot of fantasy podcasts, every time you hear the host say, well, Julio's inconsistent, just immediately unsubscribe and delete and just like be done with it. It's really helped me pare down how many fantasy pods I listen to.
Yeah, it's nonsense. And, you know, no offense, I'm sure there are some decent minded, good-hearted people out there who have, you know, said, you know, maybe I'll try this take on. I want to say something shocking. I'm going to try this take on. You know, you can make that kind of mistake when you're young or when you're drunk. But no, don't commit to that take. Start Julio, start your studs, especially start Julio. Don't trade Julio. Come on.
Cooper Kupp got 4 of 6 targets for 17 yards in the Rams' week 6 loss to the Niners.
I'm going to say shit no, which is to say, for better or worse, I think Cooper Kupp is probably the wide receiver to own in that offense. I do buy the offseason hype. I do buy that he's faster and stronger, having recovered from his ACL. And he has some sort of rapport that we certainly didn't see recently, but he has some sort of rapport with Jared Goff that makes me trust him the most moving forward.
As a follow-up question on that, is the Niners' defense for real? Because I'm really on the very much yes side of that equation now.
Right, right. Okay, and Blair, it sounds like you got something here. I'm going to pass it to you, but I'm just going to say I don't like Bosa. I mean, whatever. I don't like him, but he's good. Like, he's good. And when you have an individual who can disrupt – a line in that way, that's gonna raise, what's the expression, a rising tide lifts all boats. Joey Bosa lifts that defense, at least for me.
Yeah, my reaction was just because Hassan has been the biggest 49ers hater in the world for almost the entirety of this show.
Right. Yeah. Good for him. Good for him. As well, he should be.
I'm not a Jimmy Garoppolo supporter by any means. Like, we're still on, like, he's still kind of a bit of an unknown, but the defense is good. And, like, the running backs are good.
We'll get you there. By next week, you'll be starting Jimmy G everywhere.
What? For that to happen, I'm going to have to own him. I'm not going to have to pay for him.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. I was just going to ask if you remember when Jimmy G was caught, busted. Dating a porn star. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, it was a great time. I like that happened. I'm tired of these squeaky clean quarterbacks who are all almost in a contest of who's squeakier and who's cleaner. Like, Jimmy G's not afraid to get down and dirty, and I admire him for that.
Yeah, same here. He's also really good at handing off the running backs and letting them do most of the work.
You're not a Niner fan yet, are you?
I am a fan of the defense and a fan of the running backs.
Fair.
Speaking of squeaky clean quarterbacks, Sam Darnold completed 23 of 32 passes for 338 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick in the Jets' week 6 upset over the Cowboys.
Yeah, we'll say no shit. I love Sam Darnold. I think he's awesome. once I started paying attention to kind of a phenom index, but for quarterbacks, I mean, Sam's right at the top. He's what, 19 years old? He's ridiculous. And to do all that coming off of a bout of mono, he's awesome. Look at what he's working with. Look at who he's working with, too. I mean, Robbie Anderson is a real wide receiver that people talk about on occasion. And all of that is thanks and due to Sam Darnold. I think he's going to have a super fun career. No one will sell him to me in Dynasty because of my well-known love for him. I like that he looks like Syndrome, the villain from The Incredibles 1. He's got a swagger to him that you can't really fake. I don't think he's squeaky clean, man. I think behind that little sneer of his is some darkness in a good way. I love Sam Darnold. No shit.
Jimmy Garoppolo completed 24 of 33 passes for 243 scoreless yards and one interception in the 49ers' 27 Week 6 win over the Rams.
I mean, we already talked about old dirty dingus Jimmy, right? Like we, I mean, you know, he's a winner. He's really handsome. He dates porn stars. I mean, what do you want me to say? Am I starting him over Sam Darnold? Probably not. I love Sam Darnold, but the guy's good. I think he's good. No shit.
Kyler Murray completed 27 of 37 passes for 340 yards and three touchdowns in the Cardinals' Week 6 win over the Falcons.
I'm going to say no shit because I like Kyler Murray, but I want to call out some hypocrisy. So if you get on Twitter right now, and you're probably on Twitter right now, you're going to see people sighing their relief and pumping their fists and saying, finally, 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 Kyler is here. But those same people also said going into this week, make sure you start Kyler because everybody looks like Randy Moss, Tom Brady when you're up against the Falcons. So on one hand, you knew this was going to happen and you knew it wouldn't necessarily be because Kyler is good. That said, Kyler looked great this game and I like Kyler. So I want this to be true. So I'm going to say no shit, but we'll see what happens next week.
Tyler Boyd got 3 of 7 targets for 10 yards in the Bengals' Week 6 loss to the Ravens.
I think Tyler Boyd's probably the best wide receiver on that team. I'm going to say, I guess, shit, no. I think it's weird that A.J. Green is back. I think, I mean, as much as a winless team could get into a rhythm, I think there was kind of a nice rhythm emerging with Boyd and Tate. Guys, do you know, it's Auden Tate. Is it pronounced Auden Tate?
Good question.
Or is it Auden? Is it Auden?
I've been saying Auden, but now that you bring it up, I'm not sure.
Well, think about this, and I don't know if you've thought about this, but Auden Tate is literally Latin for Golden Tate. So, I don't know. You tell me. You got a 6'5 rookie Golden Tate out there in the field, you're going to take him out for A.J. Green? I don't know.
That's true, but they do have C.J. Uzomah. And yeah. I don't know how you take Uzomah off the field.
Yeah, man. No, they're a mess. What a mess. Sucks to be. Hey, can we talk about how shitty Joe Mixon is? I got into an argument. Like, if you want to Google this, not Google this, if you want to Twitter this, I'm sure you could find it. I got into an argument, an actual argument on Twitter with someone. I don't even know who. And they were like quote tweeting me in anger. You know how when you get under someone's skin, they start pandering to their audiences and say, oh, look at this joker. And he was quote tweeting me because I'd said, you know, pump the brakes a little on Joe Mixon. I think Derrick Henry might be better than Joe Mixon in 2019. And he said, here's an example of moronic analysis. Like, here's what you never want to do, guys. And I said, you know, we were having a conversation. I'm happy to discuss this with you. But when you engage in the quote tweeting, you know, it just shows how insecure you are. And he said, nah, I'm not insecure. You're like, I'm confident in this. You are dead wrong. And I want my whole audience to see it. So whoever you are, congratulations. Good take, bro. Really good take.
The people who really want Mixon to be a thing, this offseason, it became pretty difficult after like half their offensive line retired. It was pretty tricky. I mean, he still gets like a decent amount of the work. He doesn't get much in the receiving game, and he's going nowhere, just slamming him into the pile. Tough year.
Very. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Well, speaking of running backs who might be better than Joe Mixon, Carlos Hyde rushed 26 times for 116 yards and one score in Houston's Week 6 win over the Chiefs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was gross. That was so gross. Look, I have to answer. I have to give you an answer. I'm going to say no shit to the extent that I'm saying Carlos Hyde has a job in that offense, kind of like Jordan Howard has a job. We were just talking about them. I think Duke Johnson has been more exciting to watch in absolutely every single way. If you kind of squint at the TV and the running back is doing incredible things, you unsquint and there he is, Duke Johnson. And if you see the running back crawling like a commando on his stomach or fumbling a ball or just generally doing stupid things, it's Carlos Hyde. He was cussing into the camera today. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, after his first touchdown, he grabbed like a pro wrestler. He grabbed the camera by the lens, held it up to his face to where all you could see, like in the margins, was his whole face. And I mean, bleep it if you like, but he says, "Can't stop us, can't fucking stop us," and he made it on a national TV. That's Carlos Hyde. He's terrible, and he has a job. Start him. Start him with confidence. He's gonna get 50 touches a game. He's going to. I don't know why, but that's what they're doing.
That's actually genuinely amazing because I missed that. So Carlos Hyde, in a revenge game against a team that he never played a snap for and was essentially got from the NFL. Like the guy's playing like a guy who's seen what the other side looks like when he was one more cut looks like. And he's playing like a man unleashed. And I'm more impressed that he had the stones to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Considering that the first play was Carlos Hyde up the gut for -1 yard, and then he fumbles the football. So I'm amazed that like on the second possession of the game, on the first play, after he fumbled the football, he screams into a camera after scoring a touchdown. Man, the man is living life the way I wish I could live. Absolutely zero fear, mm-hmm. fear. Absolutely no need, no introspection. Just like the longest leash. I just wish I had that life.
It's kind of like before he was Dr. Jekyll, and now he's Mr. Hyde. Thank you.
Yeah, we need the drum.
We do need the.
Where's Devin? Probably out committing crimes.
Yeah, I always kind of. I was listening to the recent Solis report, and I'm halfway through it. And before Devin buys an instrument, I'm really hoping he completes the transformation to becoming your Kevin Eubanks.
I love that. I haven't thought about Kevin Eubanks or Jay Leno in forever. And Eubanks was so underrated, wasn't he? I feel like, okay, so the harder to digest the host is, the more work the sidekick has to do. So like Devin on my show is doing a ton of work. But Leno, like he's like a lettuce sandwich, man. Like he is just the most vanilla, mild, easy to digest host. So it seemed like Eubanks didn't do much, but every time they cut to him, he had this sly, like warm smile that, and I'm not joking, it like put me at ease. He was the perfect straight man to a host that was already very, very, very mild. He did a good job. That's my ode to Kevin Eubanks. Sorry.
Mark Andrews caught 6 of 8 passes for 99 yards in the Ravens' Week 6 win over the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. Let's say no shit. Mark Andrews, so I hate tight ends. I do not like them. I think anywhere you could possibly draft a tight end is too early. But Mark Andrews is the rare young tight end that was hyped in the offseason, attainable at a reasonable ADP, and to date he has delivered on it. So let's say no shit. And I would feel confident starting Mark Andrews going forward.
Philip Lindsay raced to 70 yards and a touchdown on 15 carries while notching two grabs for 5 yards on 3 targets Sunday in the Broncos' Week 6 win over Tennessee.
I mean, this is kind of, to you guys, is this an average game for Lindsay or is this a below average? That sound was a cat jumping into a box that once housed a fish tank, by the way. I know you could probably tell that from the sound, but just to clarify for your audience. So before I know shit or shit know this, I need some context. Is this a good game or a bad game for Lindsay?
Well, here's, I think, the really interesting thing. He had 2 catches for 5 yards. Royce Freeman had 5 catches for 42 yards.
Weird.
Yeah, so that split is kind of interesting. Do we see that it going is. Forward?
It doesn't make any sense to me. I've seen much more of what Lindsay can do. Lindsay, again, is this really strange player that I never, ever have on my teams because I don't like, for the most part, undrafted running backs. I don't like, for the most part, very small running backs. And he's both of those. And after last year, he became the worst of all worlds. A small, undrafted, extremely expensive dynasty running back. To me, he's the kind of good player that I'm just never going to have on my team. But it just makes no sense to me to see him losing targets in the passing game to Royce Freeman. I don't get it. I think he's a great receiving running back. He's kind of a do-it-all guy in a small package. So I'm going to say shit no. I don't see that continuing as a trend. Do you?
I don't know. I think Royce Freeman is probably underrated as a pass catcher, and he definitely showed today that he can be pretty good in that role. But yeah, like you said, I mean, I think Lindsay is probably at least as good, if not better, as a receiver. So yeah, it's tricky. I don't know quite how to decipher this backfield. Kind of the whole season I've been waiting for Freeman to break out, and that's probably
because
I actually own him on a lot of teams, whereas, like you said, Lindsay was too expensive to acquire this season.
So, like, the receiving workload between both Royce and, like, Lindsay is almost 50-50 in terms of how many targets they receive. I'm going to have to, like, probably delve into this later, but I wonder if this is more of a function of game script. Like the Titans were, they were the Titans. they were incapable of generating even any semblance of offense, to where I wonder if most of these Freeman targets came towards, like, much later in the game, to where they were just pretty much using him as a receiver to salt away the game. Mm-hmm. And, they sort of put Lindsay away in that they don't really need him because, like, they're not really playing in that neutral script. Because, again, you know, like, as John mentioned, he's tiny. The guy is small. He's a phenomenal talent, but, like, He really is a little bit too small to, like, be a, you know, a feature back that you use to salt away the game.
Yeah.
I think that's a important context here, and it's not something I was thinking of. If you need someone who can be kind of a B-minus Lindsay, but with enough padding to, you know, not destroy himself before the next game, yeah, Royce Freeman. That's the nicest thing I could say about Royce Freeman right now.
Yeah, it's a tough backfield as well, if only because both of them are cannibalizing each other, and the offense is really, like, it's Cortland Sutton's receiving work and, like, nobody else, really. It's tough.
Right.
Michael Thomas, he nabbed, 8 targets for 89 scoreless yards on 12 targets Sunday in the Saints' Week 6 win over the Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, no shit. That's no surprise. He's awesome. If you had Michael Thomas as your number one wide receiver in Dynasty, I don't think anyone could, you know, hold that against you. He's right up there. I don't know what the future holds for him as far as his quarterback situation. You would have liked to have seen a score today, but obviously that's not something that is sticky from week to week. This is an amazing receiver who is getting a ton of targets regardless of who is throwing to him. Great player, no shit.
Just to I just want to push back a little bit on that, on that quarterbacking situation. Like the belief was that, you know, Michael Thomas is a product of Drew Brees, but he's retained the same target share and almost the same production metrics with Teddy under center.
Yes.
So like, I'm with you in that he should have been like one of the top wide receivers for Dino. I don't know if he should be wide receiver one, but like at this point, he kind of should be in the conversation just a little bit. Like, I mean, he's able to do this with Teddy. He's able to put up the same numbers with Drew Brees. Like, I think it kind of doesn't matter a little bit as long as he's able to get the targets, or at least as long as he's getting looks in the offense. And it seems to be that he's doing a lot with them.
I agree with you. And all of this, really without ever having a proper 1B as at wide receiver in that offense, like he never had a Juju there to take the heat. I think Kamara, to the extent Kamara is a receiver, maybe he plays in that function because, you know, someone has to help get Thomas open. But no, he's I don't want to say quarterback proof, but all he does is produce. He's really fun.
Humans have been shaving for thousands of years, and you want to know the secret to a great shave? It hasn't changed. It's the same. You know, you don't need to go overpay for razors that include flex balls and heat handles and all this other stuff that you just are paying useless amount of gobs of money for. I mean, that's why I shop at Harry's Razors. I got sick and tired of buying all this weird, these weird items. You know, they just don't overcharge me, and they don't add these gimmicky features to their razors, and they focus on all that really matters, which is sharp, durable blades, and they're actually at a very fair price. You know, they're $2 a blade, and they're super convenient to buy, if only because they're delivered directly to your house on schedule, and that's with or without a subscription. You know, and there's no risk to you trying them out. And if you don't love your shave, let Harry's know, and they'll give you a full refund. You know, I mean, personally, I love Harry's because it gives me a close shave with an easy glide at a low price. And listeners of this show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to start shaving better today. John, have you taken advantage of this promo?
You know, I have, and what I like the most, you already mentioned the price, but it's really easy to clean. The slotted blades from behind, those 5 blades, you give them a quick rinse, you get to see the big crazy mess in the sink with all your hair there. You get to freak out your fiance and say, "Hey, honey, look what used to be on my face." It's a great product. Again, great price. Harry's.
I also want to remind you, you can become a RotoViz Patreon and gain exclusive access to RotoViz Radio Slack, where you can ask questions and gain league-winning advice from many of the podcast and writing team, like Hassan and myself. Patronships start at just $6 a month. Become a RotoViz Radio patron today to join an exclusive community of listeners. Sign up at patreon.com/RotoViz Radio. You can also get a listeners only 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all our premium NFL content, and it supports the pod. Plus, for a limited time only, we're offering a 2-year RV Radio NFL sub, which includes a 10% discount and complimentary access to RotoViz Radio Patreon and the RotoViz Radio Slack channel for the rest of the 2019 season, just in time for the home stretch and the fantasy playoffs. So right now you can get 10% off a 2-year subscription and enjoy unlimited access to the RotoViz Radio Slack channel. All you have to do is head to rotoviz.com/podcast, sign up via the 2-year RV Radio subscription, and we'll email you Slack access details within 48 hours. Once again, that's rotoviz.com/podcast. All right, moving on to news item number 3. Nick Chubb rushed 20 times for 122 yards and a pair of touchdowns in the Browns' Week 6 loss to the Seahawks, adding 5 receptions for 17 additional yards. John, as the resident Browns fan living in San Diego, what are your thoughts on Chubb's performance today and on the Browns' offense thus far in the season?
I mean, gosh, there's not much I can say that's going to surprise your listeners here. He's awesome, right? He's awesome. Early on, when the Browns had a lead, he was seeing a ton of action. And when the game got closer and the game was on the line, he was seeing a ton of action. I think if not for some very questionable coach behavior and play calling, Chubb has another touchdown on top of that. I love it when a player comes back, especially from an ACL injury, and they're as good as they were before. And if you watch the Georgia clips of Chubb, I mean, he's as explosive as anybody. Maybe we're getting 95% of him now, which is still outstanding. Chubb's my dude, man. I love Nick Chubb. Very, very exciting. Fun game to watch. The Browns are my surrogate team after the Chargers left. But in a big eliminator contest I'm in, I had honestly wisely picked the Seahawks. So I wasn't that hurt with the loss. Go get Nick Chubb. Redraft, Dynasty, if anyone's stupid enough to sell him, go get him.
I just wanted to follow up a little bit because like the Browns' passing offense, like it was, you know, people were fairly optimistic for it in the preseason, and it just sort of hasn't come to pass. We've seen bits and pieces of it, like what could be, the what could have been, you know, what could be. And I'm kind of afraid that we're heading too down the road of what could have been. What are your thoughts on whether or not this?
So I think it starts at the top, right? This offense doesn't look like the Browns offense, kind of carefree, playing with house money. We saw at the second half of last season. I'm not a big Freddie Kitchens fan. It's like a cool Rudy story. As I remember, I guess he was a running backs coach like less than a year ago. And then he started calling some plays as the offensive coordinator. Am I right? And then now he's the coach. Is that his path, guys? Do I have that right?
That sounds right.
Okay. Well, if not, you guys can edit it out. But my point is, I'm not convinced that this guy knows how to use the toys he has. Like, he didn't read the manuals. Like, he's just banging them together like they're all Matchbox cars. But I mean, OBJ, he's a Gundam, dude. Like, you got all these intricate little moving parts. Scheme for OBJ. Like, loosen up. Be brave. Beyond that, I mean, the guys obviously just have to play. You got to get the ball out quicker. I'm fine forcing it to Odell or Jarvis. I mean, these are great 50-50 ball receivers that you have. There's certainly nothing wrong with Nick Chubb. The offensive line is an issue, isn't it? It's a big issue. I forget his name. I want to say it started with a Z. Can you pronounce it for me? Is it Zeitler?
Sounds right to me.
The lineman they gave away in the Odell trade. But yeah, it's been disappointing, obviously. I don't know how you go about riding this ship, but I think it starts at the top.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's probably right. I don't know. I mean, you definitely are encouraged by sort of the stat line that Beckham had today with 11 targets and 101 yards. But right. On the other hand, you know, when you have, I don't know, 6 targets going to Ricky Seals-Jones and... yeah, you'd start to think probably they could be distributing these a little better or scheming their offense a little bit better.
Right.
Going back a bit to Nick Chubb, I know they have a few more games still before Kareem Hunt is eligible to play, but how do you see him fitting into this offense once he's back?
That's a great question, and I think most of the fantasy community has been too low on Kareem Hunt. I remember when Hunt landed on the Browns, I think it was mostly Chubb truthers saying, just a drop in the bucket, you know, business as usual. Chubb is the one with the talent. And it's not like Kareem Hunt is a Philip Lindsay type, a UDFA out of nowhere. He was a highly drafted, I believe, third round running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he produced literally a top 2 rookie running back season in history for all time. You look at the list of the best rookie running back performances, and he's number 2. Don't ask me who's number 1. Probably Steve Slayton. He's from before you were born as well. But Kareem Hunt is good. He's so good. He's phenomenal. Honestly, and I was just talking about how much I like Nick Chubb. He's probably better than Nick Chubb. Okay, he's certainly a better receiver than Nick Chubb. There is a 0% chance that Kareem Hunt shows up and doesn't eat into some of Chubb's workload. That said, these guys are both good enough that I think you could have a situation, maybe not thunder and lightning, because there's not really thunder, but lightning and lightning. Think about Kamara and Ingram from last year. You could see something like that. But no, do not write off Kareem Hunt, and definitely add Kareem Hunt in your redraft leagues a week early. He's good. He's really good.
Stephon Diggs, he caught 7 of 11 targets for 167 yards and 3 touchdowns in the Vikings' 38-20 Week 6 win over the Eagles. John, this was the game Diggs owners were waiting for. Hopefully you didn't bench him. You know, are you using this game as an opportunity to sell high, or do you think this is a sign of things to come?
Guys, have you ever heard of a band called the Ataris? Well, one of their favorite establishments is called 7-Eleven. It's a convenience store. So, you know, you just don't see 7-Eleven that often. So I definitely recommend people check out 7-Eleven. Look, if you have Diggs, unless you stole him in some monster trade in week 4 or something, you probably invested in him. I don't like what has happened this season in Minnesota. I think Zimmer is allergic to passing. He's allergic to points. He was furious today on the sideline, I'm sure. Like, all those touchdowns to a wide receiver, he was probably pulling his hair out. That said, I would ride it out. I would hope that instead of this being the narrative that, oh, this was the flash in the pan and now it's time to sell, maybe instead let's use a narrative that Diggs was rightfully being a diva the last 2 weeks. He was upset. He got fed today. They won the game, and by a lot, and on the shoulders of his performance. Maybe we will see more of this going forward. I'm not trying to sell him right now. And I did start him this week, and I'm feeling great about it.
The thing that I just sort of wanted to bring to your attention here was just that they faced a couple of soft secondaries in the Giants and the Eagles. And then they have a handful of other good gate games later. So I think it's more like the Vikings. I mean, for as much as they hate Zimmer and whatever the name of the new OC is, who loves to run the ball, this is still a team that's got fairly talented as a receiving core and an ability to attack through the air. But it's nice of them to see them make hay against the Eagles, who are known to be a secondary that you should be able to throw on given their stout run defense. Mm-hmm. One of the things here that I did want to note was that Alexander Mattison, he carried the ball 14 times and he, put together 63 yards. No work in the receiving game, though. Is he still a stash candidate here for you in redraft? And, what are you doing with him? And, I doubt you can really buy him in Dynasty, but, what are your thoughts on him in Dynasty or his Dynasty value?
First off, I agree with you that his owners in Dynasty are not selling for something reasonable right now. They're not selling for his current value. They're looking at his potential. And this was a nice showing for a guy who definitely hadn't had 14 carries before. But no, he's not a redraft target for me. Certainly not. If you're a handcuffer, sure, you can go ahead and pick him up as a handcuff. But no, I'm not in the business of keeping those guys on my team. I would like to see more. I know this is the Dalvin Cook show. I know if they do revert back to run, 4 downs in a row, they're going to be Cook carries. And whatever Madison could poach from Cook is not going to be high value enough for me to want to flex him in any given week.
Yeah, Madison, it looks like, has one target on the season. Do you think that is because the Vikings don't see him as a pass catcher and he actually is not like a very good Dalvin Cook handcuff? Like, if suppose Cook got hurt, do you think we'd see someone else kind of step into the receiving role he had?
My answer is not a direct answer, and I'll apologize for that in advance, but LaDainian Tomlinson, coming out of college, was not known as a pass catching running back. And there's a lot of guys like this. Derrick Henry obviously is not known as a pass catching back. Leonard Fournette. I think if you're athletic enough to be a running back in the NFL, you can probably learn to catch a pass. You probably already know how to catch a pass. I am sure that Madison could take on a pass catching role. Maybe he doesn't have David Johnson's hands. You know, Johnson, obviously a wide receiver. But no, he could do that, I think, if Cook went down. And frankly, I think almost every running back could. Except Kenyon Drake, apparently. Sorry.
That's awesome. No, it's true. What a sorry state of affairs Miami are in.
Okay, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. Far from it. Do you think he dropped it on purpose? You think someone said, "Drop that shit"? You think someone said that?
He saw 9 targets today. Kenyon Drake did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird that he just forgot how his hands worked. It was right. Just crazy. Really interesting timing. Really brave to go for it and put the game on the line there.
Drop that pass and we'll give you 11 targets next week.
Yeah. What do you think the speech was like before the game? Do you think Rosen, and it was Rosen who started that game, he gathered everyone around. He said, guys, I know it's tough, but I really think we can lose this game. And someone pipes up, no way. Washington has even more losses than us. They're 0-5. We're only 0-4. And Rosen said, listen, dig deep, men. Dig deep. How do you want to be remembered? You want to go 1-15? Or you want to be in the record books forever? We can do this! Do this! And that's what Drake was thinking of when he let the ball hit him in the face and dribble into the end zone.
I think really what sold that Rosen's speech was probably the fact that he got benched halfway through as well. He's willing to lose his own job to ensure that they make the record books.
But Drake never forgot the speech.
No.
The quarterback gets benched. His legacy lives on.
This one's for Josh, he said. You think I'm catching this, Fitzpatrick? Stick it up your ass. Game over.
All right. And with that, let's call it quits.
Hold on. I need some help. And you guys are real football guys. I'm in a serious football predicament. Maybe some of your listeners are too. I know you're expecting a joke, but it's not going to be one. This is a real predicament. I blame our pals Pete and Pat over at Ship Chasing for this, but I got the Rojo fever. And I had an opportunity in my big redraft to add Ronald Jones, but the only player I was really comfortable dropping was Baltimore defense and special teams. And since then, I've been carrying Ronald Jones, who's been doing absolutely nothing, and I've been fielding no defense. And so far it hasn't mattered that much, but I mean, I can't keep doing this, right? Would you drop Ronald Jones and add some random defense, or are you holding true? What are you doing?
I'm definitely going to be holding Ronald Jones. The Dare Ogunbowale stuff is legitimately like frustrating to watch, if only because I've never seen a guy do so little in such high leverage situations. Maybe O.J. Howard's done less, but you know, that's just the way it goes over there. As far as Ronald Jones goes, it's weird that they're willing to let him run it in for a touchdown and then just not give him much work.
It's like they're mad at him.
Yeah, they're definitely doing something there that has made no sense for pretty much all season. It would explain their 2-4 record, and this was like a pretty brutal loss to a division rival that they handled pretty comfortably back in week 2. I was going to say that like Baltimore defense is whatever. They're really kind of running on reputation alone. Right. But you know, I mean, if you could drop someone for the San Francisco 49ers' defense.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
All right. I guess I'll keep Ronald Jones. Thanks, guys.
I mean, I don't know. This was a kind of a weird game. you know, when Tampa Bay is playing catch up, I guess you want to see them throw, you know, 17 passes to Mike Evans and 12 to Chris Godwin and not be targeting the running back so much. But what's just so weird is how you see Jones have these explosive plays sometimes and Peyton Barber not so much, and but still Peyton Barber's the one getting most of the touches. So
it's gross.
I'm still holding out hope for Jones, so I don't think I would drop him either, but I don't know, it's getting tough.
I was going to say a favorite of the aforementioned Pat of Pat and Pete, Scotty Miller, huh? 7 targets.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, shout out Scotty Miller. Shout out Pat Corain. Congrats, guys. I'm glad somebody's happy.
That was a pretty good call by Pat back in the offseason. I have Scotty Miller and 2 very deep dynasty leagues, and I have no idea what it would take for him to eventually see the starting lineup, but he's there, and that's all that matters.
Awesome.
All right, and that will do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Special thanks to our guest, John Solis. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at Solis Report. Also, be sure to check out his podcast with Devin McIntyre on RotoViz Radio. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz Radio channel on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our Patreon. For Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Report. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast channel on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.